God, I want to thank you that your word is good. Your word is fruitful. It brings life. It changes. It transforms. And it has something for us today. So we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we invite you to come and speak to us today, to minister to us, to speak through Andrew as he brings your word, as he shares, as he speaks of your kingdom values, your kingdom works, Lord. I want to pray that each of us will just have open ears and hearts. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Who likes 7-Eleven? At least three people. No, their coffee is no good, that's true. Back when I was a young fella and we're roaming around the Sunshine Coast, there used to be a 7-Eleven at Alexandra Headlands, it was. And when it was about 11 or 12 o'clock at night and you had the munch. Is that still? Oh, it is still working. This will gross you out, but I loved them. You'd have a fridge and you could grab a beef and cheese roll. It's like a hot, you remember those? On a hot dog bun and it's mince and cheese. You stick it in the microwave. And, mate, your munchies were fixed after that. How good was that? My kids more like the lychee Slurpees and all that kind of thing. I think we like the convenience. What made me think of 7-Eleven was actually Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Isn't that funny how our brains work or don't work? And it says this, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And as around, God was challenging me through that verse of, it's okay to ask for good things. You know, often we have this thing, oh, I couldn't ask for that. You know, and we think, oh, well, I don't deserve that. And it's like, that's a relevant question anyway. I'm not sure we deserve anything. But it's because God is good and he's a good father that he wants to give us good stuff. And we're actually told here to expect good stuff and it's okay to ask for good stuff. How good is that? Better than a lychee Slurpee or a beef and cheese roll. Hey, good gifts from God. So our first point, and it's on the seats if you want to follow along. We're encouraged to ask for good gifts. Now, here is what we know as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He was preaching to a crowd and the disciples. And just before verse 11, he was saying this verse, which you may be familiar with, ask and it will be given to you. Ask. You know what I find? A lot of us find it hard to ask, especially for the stuff we really need. I've made a habit, and mainly I do this to try and really help people, because sometimes when people come in for welfare assistance, you know, they're in a panic. And sometimes they don't even know what to ask for us, and I just say, what do you need? And it's surprising how long it can take someone to just slow themselves down. Sometimes they can't even do it. And so I help them try to work out, what actually do you need right now? Yeah, and I think this is what God does with us. We get in a flap. Oh, I don't know what's going on. Panic. And God says, hey, shh, what do you need? What do you need? And actually, I think that's the journey God often wants us to go on so that we can ask for what we need because he wants to meet our needs. It says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And then he illustrates his point to shift the hearer's faith. If you who are not always good, I try to be a good dad, but I'm not always, but I always want to give good gifts to my kids. Don't always nail that, but I want to. So he's saying here, if we who, you know, aren't always good, want to give good gifts to our kids, how much more will God, who is always good? He can't help but be good. He's actually the definition of good. Have you tried to define good without God? You'll get some, you know, humanistic nonsense and philosophy from somewhere. Actually, I was having a, you know, as only you can, have a good conversation with philosophy with Luke or Kate or some of these guys. And we did have a good conversation about philosophy. And it was really interesting, as she's studying some philosophy subject at uni, how hard it is for these intellectuals to actually define good. They go round and round and round in circles. I can define good. Read about Jesus. Hey? There's a definition of good, if you want one. Don't overcomplicate it. And sometimes we need to redefine what's good, right? Small children love lollies. Who else loves lollies? Because they taste good, or chocolate, you name what it is. But yeah, too much of that's not good, is it? Too many beef and cheese rolls isn't good. Probably why I've had to start taking blood pressure tablets. But broccoli is good. It is good. It's proven to be good. Hey? The other mistake we make, so sometimes we need to redefine what's good. God is good and he knows what is good for us. The other mistake we make is that the bad things that we have received in life we think are from God. How hard is it to believe that God is good when you watch the news every night and see everything that's not good? And it's very easy for our minds to go, well, you know, God's in control, isn't he? You know what? God delegates his control to people. So we need to remember that God is good. And the mess in our world is not his fault and not of his design. He's a good God. And he's actually got a plan that he's executing right now to fix the world. You know, the plan, that plan was Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ. And as Jesus changes our lives, that will change our world. I love this verse in Jeremiah 19:5, just if you're still having trouble believing God is good. This is what God said to his people. He says, they have built the high places of Baal to burn their children. This is what the Israelites were doing way back, right? They got right off the track, right? Followed the nations around them. And they worshipped a false god called Baal. And part of that worship was to sacrifice children. And then God goes on to say this, right? This is fascinating. Something I did not command or mention, nor did it enter my mind. I don't think we realize that. But sometimes man can create evil that God hasn't even thought of. He actually can't think of because he's so good. Doesn't even enter his mind because he's good. Does that make sense? I think we struggle to get our head around that. But some of the, I want to say crap, that happens in the world hasn't even entered God's mind. So don't blame him for it. He's the one with a plan to fix it. Hey? God is good. We need to become convinced of that so we can trust him enough to ask him to give us good gifts. Secondly, God, good gifts don't always come if we don't ask. I love what Sandy shared, I think, this morning. That, oh, no, it might have been the prayer meeting. That God had blessed her with so many great relationships and a family here that she didn't even ask for. How good is that? God gives us stuff we don't even ask for. But sometimes he leaves a bit of a vacuum to see if we do ask. Because he wants relationship. I love giving my kids stuff they don't ask for, but sometimes I just want them to ask. Because it's about relationship and building relationship. And so good gifts don't always come if we don't ask. James 4:2 says, you desire, but you do not have. So you kill. That's interesting in the context of our world today, isn't it? Just let's focus on that verse for a minute. You desire, but you do not have. So you kill. We could meditate on that for just a while, couldn't we? You covet, in other words, you envy, you desire, you lust after things, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. How interesting. How many fights? I won't mention names, but someone was upset yesterday and I asked them what the problem was. I said, well, I want, and I heard that word want. I thought, there's your problem right there. Hey? Because Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hey, want is The last step before messing something up, just if you didn't know. You do not have because you do not ask God. Okay? If you want something, ask God. If he doesn't give it to you, it's best you don't have it. Okay? He'll give you peace and contentment instead. In this context, James is speaking in chapter 4 about what causes fights among people. And said it is more or less us not getting what we want. And he goes on to say, you don't have because you don't ask. I don't know about you, but we're looking for a house to live in at the moment. I didn't know we're supposed to help the Salvation Army, but we are. And at the moment, we're still going to be homeless in January. So if you've got any room at your place. And don't you hate it when you have to eat your own words? That is worse than broccoli. Is it? Like, serious, when you've got to eat your own words. I hate that. Sometimes I've watched myself preach just to keep myself accountable. I go, oh my gosh, did I say that? I probably need to start doing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's convicting. Or get back onto doing it. Do you know what I mean? Because I try to have integrity and honesty. Anyway, I said to more than enough people recently, well, I totally trust God to provide a house because he provided there and he provided there and he provided there. I said, I don't even need faith because I've got so much evidence, even rationally without faith, I can believe God's going to supply a house. Well, guess who got into doubt, fear and anxiety this week? Because I thought the house might have shown up before now. See, it's easy to say we have faith. But when things don't work out the way we thought they're supposed to, that's the real test, isn't it? That's the real test. Don't worry, I'm asking. But it's funny, when I pray something like this, God, can you give us the right house in the right place? And my prayer was this, as soon as possible. And this morning I changed my prayer to you, Lord, can you give us the right house? Yeah, the right house in the right place at the right time. Hey, how hard is that part of a prayer to pray? Hey, in your time. I hate that part of a prayer. It's interesting, in our independence, we try to get what we want our own way. It's interesting that further down in the passage, he says God gives grace to the humble. You know, pride says, well, I'll make it work. I'll find a way. Humility says, God, I trust you because really, if I'm honest, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And if you don't show me, I'm stuffed. That's humility. The good news is when we humbly admit our need, and ask God, he hears and answers our prayers. God gives grace to the humble. It says that in James as well. Sometimes our prayers are not answered. So first of all, we've got to ask. And if that's hard enough, then we've got to ask with the right motives. Yeah, I was disappointed as well. James 4:3 says this, good gifts can be stopped by wrong motives is the next point. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. In other words, when we're too selfish. It's right to ask, but we need to make sure our motives are right. I found this interesting in a commentary, this couple of points. We must remember that the purpose of prayer is not to persuade a reluctant God to do our bidding. So the idea of prayer is not manipulation, because you can't manipulate God. The purpose of prayer is to align our will with his and in partnership with him to ask him to accomplish his will on this earth. And then there's another interesting word in that verse where it says that you may spend. The word spend is the same verb used to describe the wasteful spending of the prodigal son. Destructive desires persist even if we pray because our prayers may be self-centered or self-indulgent. So it's not saying, more or less that verse says that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That's talking about excess, you know, unnecessary stuff. So you know what? We need a house. Someone here needs healing. Someone else needs reconciliation of relationships. That's not reckless spending. That's valid needs. And God knows our valid needs. And he says, you know what? I'm here to meet those needs. And we just got to trust him to come through for those needs. And keep, you know, when it says pray, keep on, it says ask and you shall receive, knock and it'll be open. The Greek word in there means ask and keep on asking. I found that so helpful when I learned that. When do we stop praying? There's only two times we stop praying. It's when we get our answer or God tells us no. Okay? Or he's got something better or whatever. If God tells us to stop praying or we get our answer, otherwise we keep praying until we see a breakthrough. Sometimes we give up too easily. I love one of my spiritual mentors, Ray Heron. You know what? I used to live by this. And I don't think he watches these videos. Hi, Harry, just in case you do. One of the tightest people I've ever met, right? And then I found out that he was one of the most generous people I ever met. And this was his life philosophy. Really interesting, right? He used to say this often, live simply that others may simply live. See, what I don't waste, I can be generous with. Live simply. And I think that's what James was talking about there, with making sure we ask with the right motives, that we just have what we need and any excess we can give away. I think the prayer we need to pray, and I've prayed it recently, is a prayer David prayed when we're not sure about our motives, because it's hard to work out what our motives are sometimes. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So we want to make sure that our good gifts aren't stopped by wrong motives. And number four, good gifts come when we ask and believe. And we've heard this, Marty is talking about this today. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea and do not doubt in their... I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Now, did Jesus want them, you imagine the disciples going around, and there was a few big mountains around there, but more hills. And you imagine the disciples going around, we've just been with Jesus, and he's taught us how to throw mountains into the sea. You know, ridiculous. They're not talking about mountains. The metaphor there means, mountains represented to the people of those times things that were impossible. So what Jesus is talking about here is, if you see something impossible and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe what you say will happen, it will be done. Hey, who's got some impossible things in their life? Yeah. Whatever you ask... Verse 24 says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it. Whatever you ask, God delights to give good gifts, give good things to those who ask him, and is capable of granting any prayer, though we must ask with godly motives. And according to God's will, believe that we've received it and it will be ours. Believe that you've received it and it will be yours. Those who trust God for the right things in the right way can have confidence that God will supply every need. Some have missed this verse by telling people that if they pray for physical healing or for some other specific request, and if they just have enough faith, they can have confidence that God has already done or will do whatever they ask. But we must always have the same perspective that Jesus had. And this is the balance here, I think we've already touched on a little bit. That is confidence in God's power, but also submission to his will. That's the last part of my prayer, in your time. Okay? I was having this conversation with someone the other day, and the idea of discernment came up. I think discernment's a really useful tool when we're praying, to wait. You know, I've learned that to start praying, I need to start listening first. That's why I often read the word first, so I can start hearing God. And then I find I pray a lot more wisely if I'm hearing God before. It's always better to listen before you open your mouth, isn't it? I find too often I open my mouth first, you know. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray. And so to spend time in God's presence and seeking his will. I mean, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane didn't want to go to the cross. He knew it was God's will. And so he surrendered his will to the Father. Same when we pray. I think, you know what? I think it's okay to ask for anything as long as we're okay with the outcome, as long as we trust God. Faith is belief and trust in God, a trust that believes for what we need and allows us to submit to his will. Submission to the will of God always, I believe, ensures the right motives. So faith is belief and trust in God, a trust that believes for what we need. And allow, you know, if we trust God, we believe that his will is good, that he is good, and that he'll give us what is good. And the final point this morning is God's gifts come when we ask and are grateful. We've already had this verse this morning as well, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The theme of Philippians is joy in Christ, whatever he has done and what he's done, sorry. So our joy is in Jesus and what he's done, despite our circumstances. And one of the ways Paul gives us to tap into this joy is gratitude. And once again, I found this article so funny. Well, it's not funny. Once again, psychological studies have caught up with biblical truth. I love it when man does so much research. It costs a lot of money to do that research. And then they prove the Bible right. Hey, I love discovering that. That's awesome. So listen to this study. In a recent research study involving nearly 300 adults, and that's a good sample if you've studied research. 300 people is good. Mostly college students who were seeking mental health and counselling at a university. Participants were selected just before they began their first session of counselling. And on average, they reported clinically low levels of mental health at the time. The researchers randomly assigned their study participants into three groups. So all three groups received the counselling. The first group was instructed to write one letter of gratitude to another person each week for 3 weeks, as well as their counselling. The second group was asked to write about their deepest thoughts and feelings about their negative experiences while getting their counselling. The third group did not have any writing activity. And what did they find? I don't think you're going to be surprised. Compared with the participants who wrote about negative experiences or only received counselling and did no writing, those who wrote gratitude letters reported significantly better mental health 4 weeks and 12 weeks after writing exercise had ended. This suggests that gratitude writing can be beneficial. This is not a Christian article, by the way. This suggests that gratitude writing can be beneficial not just for healthy, well-adjusted individuals, but also for those who struggle with mental health concerns. In fact, it seems practicing gratitude on top of receiving psychological counselling carries greater benefits than counselling alone, even when the gratitude practice is brief. How amazing that. You know what I find? It's not natural in our human nature to be grateful or thankful. Hey, we get the last thing we ask for and then we're looking for the next thing we're asking for. We forget to stop and say thank you. And just to sit in that and be grateful. I think saying thankful is one thing. Who gets up in the morning and says thank you? I used to meet this lady, I've told you this story, I think, in the pub down at the Rocks that we used to collect for the Salvation Army. Her name was, still remember her name, isn't that interesting? Dorothy, what's her name? And she'd sit there at the bar. She's probably about 83, I think she told me. She said at the bar she had a little, I don't know alcohol very well, a little shandy or something, a little glass of wine or something it looked like. And every Friday I'd come in, she'd get the War Cry, the Salvation Army paper. And I'd say, how are you this week, Dorothy? She'd say, I'm still getting up in the morning. You know what? She was thankful for her breath. When's the last time you were thankful for your breath? You know what? As I'm getting older, I'm getting more thankful. Hey, when we're young, we take it for granted. But as we get older, we get more thankful for our breath. And that's appropriate. So anyway, I've got a conclusion there, but I'm not sure I care about it. on the back of your sheets, because this is what I want you to do, right? Depending on what you need today, right? So if you're like me, you sometimes struggle to ask for good gifts, maybe you need to pray, write a prayer on the back. So here's your opportunity when the worship team comes up and they're going to play some worship music and you can engage with that. But this is what I want to challenge you to do today. You may need to write a prayer on there asking for something good from God just because you're not good at doing that. You know, you ask people, what do you need? Oh, I'm okay. Sometimes you know they're not okay and they're still saying they're okay. So ask God for what you need, okay? Ask him for something good. Be bold. Just ask him. And even if you've already asked him and think, well, he's not going to give me that because he hasn't given it to me already, that doesn't mean God's delays aren't God's denials. So keep asking. Maybe you need to write the prayer again. Maybe you need to write a prayer there that's full of faith. You know what, God, you've been so good to me in the past, this time, that time, the other time. I believe you're going to be good to me again. Because that's who you are. Maybe, and this is my journey this week, right? I've learned that while I'm waiting for a house to live in, the best thing I can do is be grateful for what God's given me in the past. Because that keeps my focus on him. Because you know what I want to do in my pride and in my flesh? I want to look for houses. That's okay. But what I most need to do is thank God for his provision of accommodation in the past. And keep my focus on his goodness and be grateful for that and sit in that gratitude because that strengthens my faith and builds my trust in God. So as the worship team come, I encourage you to do that. This is not for you to give anyone. This is just for you to take home. Stick it on your bathroom mirror if that helps or next to your bed. Read it a few times through the week. If you're not good at writing a gratitude letter to God, write a list of things you're thankful for. Even that can be helpful. And I encourage you to engage in this morning.